So I don't know if any of you know what it's like being a teenage girl, but we really love our hair. And you know, if you're having a bad hair day, you're going to have a bad day as well. And so recently I heard of this organization called Locks of Love that takes monetary donations and hair donations and creates hair pieces for disadvantaged children that have been affected by long-term hair loss by some sort of disease or diagnosis. And so I don't have a job, and it's not my birthday month, so I don't really have any money. But I thought, well, why not donate my hair? And so last week I chopped off all 11 inches of it and sent it in to this organization so that a little child could have a new wig. And I just can't even explain to you the joy I felt in being able to help out this child whose childhood has been affected by this disease, and she hasn't been able to live a normal life because she doesn't have hair, which is what every child treasures. And so I think in this passage, God is really trying to tell us that we have to extend our lives beyond just prayer and going to church, and that we really have to spread his word and his love and his message into the world so that other people can experience his fruit and his seeds. And so I'm not saying you need to go shave your head or chop off all your hair, but I think what God is trying to say is even through the simplest of acts, however you feel you're spreading his love is what you need to do in order to bear his fruit and just spread his acts of kindness and caring and faith. And now I'm going to hand it over to Mia on more of the meaning of this verse.
I'm here to talk to you about the second half of this verse, and what really sticks out is the fact that Jesus tells you to take your mountains and throw them in the sea. And our mountains represent the issues and problems we have in our life. And as individuals, we suffer from mountains such as procrastination, laziness, a disability, or even a mentality. And, I mean, how can you overcome a mountain? It's tall, overbearing, intimidating. And Jesus tells us to go and throw it in the sea by having faith and praying to a God, to your God, with no doubt and absolute faith in him. And we do have faith in our God because he's a God that has even conquered death. And in having this faith, he will help us to erode and make the mountain smaller, or help us climb the mountain even more. And so if we have absolute faith in our God and we don't doubt his abilities and what he can do, he can help us get over that mountain even more. And now we have Abby, who's going to give us a personal example.
So as a high schooler, we face many mountains, but the biggest one that I think is college. Freshman year, they talk about it a little bit, but it's just a little hill in the distance on the horizon. You don't really think about it. Sophomore year, they talk about it a little more. Junior year is when you're supposed to start narrowing it down. You're supposed to figure out where you're going to apply. And then senior year, you apply and you decide. Simple, right? No, not at all. And it's incredibly intimidating. I looked it up last night. There are 3,026 colleges in the U.S. And there's no way you can just decide off of just a list of colleges. So you go on findacollege.org or something like that, and you plug in your major, how much you want it to cost. There's still hundreds of colleges. And so for me, I kind of narrowed it down. I applied to 11 colleges, which I don't know how I got through that. I prayed a lot. God helped me through it. I really don't know how. But so that's only half the mountain. Entirely true. You still have to decide. And so some colleges, they decide for you. You get rejection letters. It's whatever. But then there's also some that you get accepted into, luckily. And for me, I thought I was ready to decide. I really did. And then the time came, and I still had no idea. I could picture myself some places, and then I couldn't. It was still the mountain that was really intimidating. And so I prayed to God. But I wanted him to basically climb the mountain for me, take me up the mountain, make it go away, something like that. I wasn't really asking him to help me up the mountain. And so one night, my mom sits me down. She says, basically, it's not looking good for a May 1st deadline decision. And so she asked me, are you praying about it? Yes, of course. And then she asked me, are you praying about the right thing? And so what I think she meant by that was, I need to pray to God to ask him to help me gather my thoughts, give me peace of mind with my decision. And so I started praying about that. And about a week later, I started feeling more comfortable about my decision. So I eventually decided on Colorado School of Mines, which I had been a little iffy about because my sister was there. I thought that wasn't a good thing, but it's amazing. Love her. But and so I decided on that. And it was, climbing that mountain was entirely because I had help from God, and I had peace of mind in my decision. And so next time you're faced with a huge mountain, don't think about, wow, I can pray to God and he can just make this mountain disappear. Make sure you're praying about the right thing. And so Serena's going to give another personal example about that.
So in January of this year, I fell off my horse, got stepped on, broke my rib, and injured my sternum. So that was definitely a pretty large mountain to overcome. And it was slow. The first 5 weeks, nothing healed. And I was like, okay, this is annoying. This needs to go a little faster. Come on. So I was like, maybe if I go to church and I pray every day and go to youth group, God will be like, all right, let's heal you. Let's get ready. Let's keep going. So I started doing that. Every week I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I went to youth group, and then nothing changed. And I was like, hey, God, where are you? Aren't you supposed to be here for me? So I didn't realize something. I still, these 6 weeks later, had not forgiven myself for falling off the horse. Every day, subconsciously, I was like, man, Serena, how could you do that to yourself? And God was ready. He was ready to go up the mountain with me to take my hand and show me everything along the way when all I could think about was just getting over the mountain and being healed. So one day when I was praying, I heard this voice in my head, and I believe it to be the voice of God that said, take your time. God will wait. And it was kind of a game changer for me. I was like, whoa, I don't have to just like run up this mountain and like get it over with. I can, you know, enjoy everything along the way. I started noticing the gestures people supported me with and like how God showed his love every day. And it was actually pretty nice. So now 6 months later, I'm healed, and or 5 months, I'm healed and I'm happy and I'm going to church every day. And it's a lot more fulfilling than it was because God took my hand and we walked up that mountain very slowly. And he showed me all the beautiful sights along the way. So while I'm glad I'm over that mountain and it's done and in the past, I'm also really glad God showed me how to take my time with things, go slow, and look at every detail of my life. So I invite you, whenever you're faced with a really large mountain in your life, to take your time. Walk up the mountain, look at everything, and love everything in your life. So now Patrick's going to come and conclude the sermon.
I am not a high school student. unfortunately, the boy who was going to conclude us this evening got diagnosed with mono yesterday. You know, the things kids will do to get out of giving a sermon. You know, this is an awesome analogy that Jesus gives that the youth chose to share this morning, that he goes from a cursed fig tree that's not producing fruit, to mountains being cast into the sea, and then he ends with this concept of forgiveness, the need to forgive others and the need to be forgiven by God. And I think when we were looking at this, one of the things we looked at was, you know, forgiveness can sometimes be the biggest mountain that we face in our life, that something has happened to us by a loved one, a friend, a family member, and it creates a wound and a hurt inside of us that doesn't go away easily or on its own. And sometimes that wound and that mountain sits there for years upon years upon years, and we think, it's impossible. I will never be able to get over it. I'll always bear that mark. And I think what Jesus desires for us is to be healed from that, and to get those mountains out of our way because there's a better life on the other side. So as much as that hurts, Jesus says it hurts even more to hold on. And then he says, and we also need to embrace God's forgiveness. As Serena kind of mentioned, that part of her journey was having to forgive herself. And I think sometimes we get trapped in mountains of shame, of guilt, of saying, I know what I've done. I know the hurt I've caused. And I know if anybody knew, they would not care about me or love me anymore. And Jesus is saying, I do know. And you are loved. And you are cared about. And that mountain has also been destroyed. Because in Christ, we know and are confident that the greatest mountains of all have already been demolished. The mountains of sin, the mountains of death have already been demolished. And in Christ, we know that when we are rooted in him, fruit appears. And it's not about appearing healthy. It's not about doing the right things for our sake. It's about saying, because of what God has done for me, in joy, I want to share that mercy, that love, and that grace with others. Thank you very much for your time this morning. I'll turn it over to Laura for our prayers.